Hare Krishna to Radha Kala Chanji Dham. Krishna's very merciful. I guess I'm not supposed to give a little announcement or commentary before the lecture, but I must admit that Krishna's very merciful. It's like I've had I wouldn't say a holiday, but like a health release from doing lectures for a while. And I'm saying that to say I'm very grateful to Vijay Prabhu, because he's been here. And pretty much every time that he's been here, someone was no doubt scheduled to do the lecture, but when you have company, you allow them to do certain things. So I must admit, I did enjoy it. Very nice lectures, and I'm sure that he's going to be here for it for a while. So it's been a great, it's been an actual blessing to have him here and to do the lectures in the morning, because whether or not we thought we needed it, some of us did require a station break. And with me, if you don't make me take one, I won't take it. But Krishna's very merciful. He makes you do things that you don't really want to do, but ultimately it's what you're supposed to do anyway. So all in all, I'm grateful. This morning's lecture is going to be interesting, because as of yesterday, I had no idea what text we were doing. So I just surrendered completely and put it in Krishna's hand and just combined what I thought we would be reading as opposed to what we're going to actually be reading, which is text 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, and we're reading text 15. However, with the information that I had yesterday, it was either 11 or 12 or 13 or 14 or 15. But anyway, I'm very happy to get the mercy of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, because it gives me an opportunity to learn more. We can never say that we are so elevated that we know everything about the scriptures, because at that point we have a problem. We've become puffed up, and I vow, and I hope I'm never that puffed up, because I'm constantly learning after all the years as far as being a devotee. But before we read the scriptures, we honor Krishna and the love that he has for his devotees, because he actually loves us completely. No discrimination, no nothing. Krishna just loves us because. So we're singing, we're going to sing Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, 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 Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari, 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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari,
Yashodanandana Vraja Chararanjanan Yashodanandana Vraja Chararanjanan Yashodanandana Vraja Chararanjanan Yashodanandana Vraja Chararanjanan Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari 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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Chararanjanan Yanandana Vraja Chararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Vraja Chararanjanan Nandana Vraja Chararanjanan Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Kalachandi Radha Kalachandi Radhe 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Jagannath 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Baladev 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev Jaya Jaya Baladev 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev Jaya Jaya Subhadra 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra Jaya Jaya Subhadra 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra Jaya Jaya Gonitai Gonitai Jaya Jaya Gonitai Jaya Jaya Gonitai 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 Jaya Jaya Gonitai Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Gurudev 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev Jaya Jaya Gurudev 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev Nitai Goro Haribol 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 Nitai Goro Haribol Nitai Goro Haribol 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 Nitai Goro Haribol Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaura Paramananda.
And as I said, as of last night, I combined some chapters, but I think we're right on target because we'll get to text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gnana Tamarandasya Gananjanan Shalakaya Chakshon Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha. All of us, whether we want to admit it or not, were born in the darkest of ignorance. And for those of us that have made a decision in taking a spiritual master, our spiritual master opened our eyes with the torch of knowledge, and I offer my most humble obeisances to my spiritual master, who is Bhakti Tirtha Swami in this life and in the next life, he still is, who is a disciple, a direct disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Text 15 we have on the board. So I'll read, and then if you are so inclined, you can also read it. And I'm very glad to have you here this morning. You are from Dallas, is that right? Or you're visiting? Your visitors from where? Ah, Jai, my heart aches for India. What part of India? Where in India are you from? From Bangalore. Oh, Hari Bo, thank you for visiting. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I pray that Radhakala Chanjan, my guru, allow me to say something that is beneficial to you this morning. And if they don't blame them, blame me because I didn't get it right. I doubt that's the case, though. But text 15. Itareva he vigyanam na te takinya yena yat stityut pata apta yan pasyat Bhavana trigunatmanam etat eva he vigyanam na te tate kinayena yat stityut pata apyan pasyad bhavanam trigunatmanam etat eva he vigyanam na tate kinayena yat stityut pata apyan pasyad Bhavanam Trigunatmanam. Now we can do word for word. Itat, this. Eva, indeed. Hey, hi. Actually, Vijnanam. Realize knowledge. Na, not. Tata, in that way, Ikana, by the one personality of Godhead, Yena, by whom, Yat, which universe, Stiti, maintenance, Utpati, creation, Apyan, and annihilation, pasyat, one should see, bhavanam, of all material elements, trigunya, of the three modes of nature, atmanam, composed. So the translation here is when one no longer sees the 28 separated material elements which arise from a single cause, but rather sees the cause itself, the personality of Godhead, at that time, one's direct experience is called vijnana or self-realization. And in the previous text, it described, or what was described, were the 28 separated material elements. And what was also explained was that in all of these elements that the entity has, they have one main common denominator or factor, and that is Krishna. And if there is a common denominator, that means that it connects with everything, all the others, the elements, and even the entity which is comprised of those elements. And it's at that time that one realizes vijnana, or experiences vijnana, or self-realization. So again, this bears repeating. When one no longer sees the 28 separated material elements which arise from a single cause, but rather sees the cause itself, and that's the personality of Godhead, at that time, one's direct experience is called vijnana or self-realization. And as I said in the previous text, it gave a description of vijnana and jnana. And jnana is the Vedic knowledge, and that's at a point where one is cultivating it or processing it. And after one has processed this Vedic knowledge and understood it and realized that there's a common factor that Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead is behind everything in this world, then one is beginning to come to self-realization or vijnana. And that's the point at which one hopefully realizes that they're not this body, that this probably, no doubt, not even probably, this is not the first time that one has appeared in the material world. And one learns detachment, not to be concerned with happiness or distress, and not to be so concerned with one's desires, whether one has material wealth, love, a palatial residence. One does not become so attached to that. One becomes more attached to the personality of Godhead, and because he is the cause of all causes, one begins to understand and know how to serve that Supreme Lord. But now this goes into the purport. Oh, here we are. The difference in jnana and vijnana. The difference between jnana, ordinary Vedic knowledge, and vijnana, self-realization, can be understood as follows. A conditioned soul, although cultivating Vedic knowledge, continues to identify himself to some extent with the material body and mind, and consequently with the material universe. In trying to understand the world he lives in, the conditioned soul learns through Vedic knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the one cause of all material manifestations. He comes to understand the world around him, which he accepts more or less as his world. As he progresses in spiritual realization, breaking through the barrier of bodily identification, and realizes the existence of the eternal soul, he gradually identifies himself as part and parcel of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. At that time, he is no longer interested in the personality of Godhead merely as the supreme explanation of the material world. Rather, he begins to reorient his entire mode of consciousness so that the central object of his attention is the personality of Godhead. Such a reorientation is required since the Supreme Lord is the factual center and cause of everything. A self-realized soul in the stage of Vijnana thus experiences the personality of Godhead, not merely as the creator of the material world, but as the supreme living entity existing blissfully in his own eternal context. As one progresses in one's realization of the Supreme Lord in his own abode in the spiritual sky, one gradually becomes disinterested in the material universe and ceases to define the Supreme Lord in terms of his temporary manifestations. A self-realized soul in the stage of Vijnana is not at all attracted by the objects that are created, maintained, and ultimately destroyed. The stage of Jnana is the preliminary stage of knowledge for those still identifying themselves in terms of the material universe. Whereas the Jnana is the mature stage of knowledge for those who see themselves as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Now, initially, starting chapter 19, it discusses in detail, and it will discuss until the end, the perfection of spiritual knowledge. And I thought about that, and I thought it takes more than just knowing the Vedic scriptures. Now, keep in mind, Krishna does not discriminate. He doesn't say you have to understand Vedic knowledge the first time you read it. You have to be expert. You have to be a pure devotee, a learned devotee. Krishna is very merciful, very merciful. The point of entrance is trying to understand the Vedic knowledge and in the process of sifting through it, relating to it, and understanding the actual purpose of it, it leads to the understanding of who we are and who we are part and parcel of. Some unfortunate souls come into this world and they never have the opportunity that most of us have. Some of us, when we're growing up, we are taught the scriptures. Some later on in life, we are taught and given the understanding or the opportunity to understand the scriptures. I sometimes feel sad for those that come through this world and never connect with their true purpose. A couple of texts ago, it spoke of King Yudhisthira after watching the results of the Battle of Kurukshetra. I can't even imagine how he must have felt seeing all of his loved ones and his close personal associates leaving their bodies on the battlefield. And then he begins to question liberation or the path of liberation. But isn't this so typical that sometimes in life, as long as everything is going the way we think it should go, we don't question anything, we just go with the flow. And sometimes it takes a tremendous event for us to stop and question, okay, where are we going? What is this about? Why am I here? How do I get out of this? How do I resolve this? But the very point that we question this is a step in cultivating Vedic knowledge. We also understand that in addition, I was going to say outside, but in addition to Vedic knowledge is devotional service, a bhakti yoga. When I first came to Krishna consciousness, someone gave me the Bhagavad Gita, and that was so many years ago. Read it, it went right over my head. I understood nothing. But I guess because of the nature and the way I was raised, we were taught to be persistent and not to give up if we thought something was worthwhile. So I kept coming back to the temple. And in the process of it, I discovered that service needed to be done. And there are certain stories about the pots and pans, washing the pots and pans, how you fall in love with Krishna by doing such a meek, unassuming service. So, in addition to not understanding the scriptures or the Vedic scriptures as they were being read in the temple, let alone understanding the person that it was speaking, it wasn't connecting. I started doing seva. I started washing the pots along with some other devotees. First of all, I'll be honest with you, I thought it was beneath me. It was like, why am I washing these pots? It's enough to do at home. Why am I doing it here? But, you know, Krishna's really, you can't figure Krishna out, because not only does he know your mind, he knows everyone's mind. So if he knows all that, how can you possibly know what he's thinking from moment to moment? But Krishna knows, and those of us that are fortunate will understand that devotional service of bhakti yoga will attach us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because at that point, I became attached to the service. I thought, oh gosh, they need me. They need me here to help them wash pots. Well, really, Krishna needs no one. Needs absolutely no one. That was just a loving offer that I was trying to get together, that I was understanding. And the more that I did service, the more service opened up. I started distributing prasadam in the temple. And we had a Food for Life program that I started cooking for. I did that too. Then I became engaged in the Ratha Yatra. So the point is, when Krishna saw this sincerity or meek, weak sincerity in my heart, he kept giving me more and more, and the more he gave me, the more I became attached, because I eventually began to understand you know, I'm doing this for Krishna. But Krishna loves it when you were serving his devotee. So ultimately, I was serving devotees in the temple. But that understanding came later in life. But the point that I'm making is that you don't have to completely understand the Vedic knowledge. It will come eventually. And with me, it came. And when it did, somehow or another, a relationship developed with Krishna. And I must say that within the last couple of years, I've understood how to surrender to Krishna, that I am learning how to give Krishna control, and that I'm also understanding that it takes nothing away from my life to surrender to Krishna. If anything, it gives more to my life. There's a scripture that says, Krishna maintains what you have and he carries what you lack. If no one ever tells you that's true, I'm telling you from experience, it is true. I have lacked nothing. Krishna has maintained whatever it is I need. And he's also helped me to understand the relationship, our original relationship that each and every one of us has with Krishna. They're all different, just like you have a relationship with your parents. A parent has a different relationship with each child. Well, we are all very fortunate when we come to the understanding of the scriptures that we do have a personal relationship with Krishna. And at that point, we begin to dovetail everything in Krishna's service. And when you find yourself dovetailing everything in Krishna's service, whatever happens, and you'll come to that understanding, it's Krishna's arrangement. Whatever happens. There was a time when anything that didn't go my way upset me. It's like, why is this happening? I was always complaining. Just recently, and this is something that would have upset me, because we get so used to technology and things that, you know, my vehicle went out. And it went out at my residence. Now, I thought about it. It's like it could have gone out when I was hours away from home. But Krishna was so merciful that when I started the vehicle up, it didn't start and it was in my backyard. So I'm good. I'm at home. But I didn't feel as if I was locked into anything. I thought, well, this is Krishna's arrangement. He has something else in store for me. And actually he did. And the more we realize all of the things that Krishna has in store for us, the more we'll come to understand our Supreme Father, Mother, the personality of Godhead. How much he wants to give to us, and he wants to give us even more than we could possibly ask for. In the scriptures, and sometimes I'll repeat it here, but I've noted that there is constant repetition of certain facts. There's a reason. There are certain facts that are stated one particular way, and you'll go to a different canto, and it will be stated again, but it might have a different twist to it. Well, I feel, or I believe, that it's done so that if you didn't get it this time, it's given to you in a different way, so that there is no living entity that can miss the points that are here. We have fallen into this spiritual world, which is like a dark hole. We were intelligent, but we wanted to be God. So Krishna arranged it. So now, if we've been in the spiritual world and had the best of the best, actually, we are insane to have come here, but we're here. And the point is, there are instructions. We've been given instructions on how to get back to the spiritual world. The repetition of points and facts in the scripture are necessary for us to get it. With some of us, it locks in the first time. With others, it takes a while. We have to have different experiences. Then a light goes off in the head like, ah, you know, eureka, I've got it. I look sometimes at those devotees and understand it is not my intention to put anyone down because I am so imperfect. But I look at devotees, and this backs up what I'm reading, that it goes beyond Vedic knowledge to get an understanding of Krishna. But getting back to devotees, I look at devotees that are full of Vedic knowledge, know the scriptures back and forth. They can repeat the shlokas, close their eyes and read it. But what's inside? What's in the heart? What are they living? There's a difference in knowing it and doing it. There's a difference in knowing the scriptures and what is it? Not only do you talk the talk, but you have to walk the walk. So I'm saying that to say, again, Krishna is very merciful. If you get a debt of knowledge of the scriptures, Krishna will lead you based on your sincerity, your level of sincerity. Krishna will lead you to the understanding that you have a permanent relationship with him. With devotees, most people that get to a certain age, you see a lot of our senior citizens, and actually, each day we become a senior. Every day we get closer to death. But you look at seniors that are rich with intelligence, and what do they have them doing in these extended daycare centers or nursing home? They have them doing puzzles, you know, drawing, filling in the lines of colors. If there has ever been a point at which one needs to come to spiritual knowledge and understanding, it's at that point. But most of us have been given an opportunity to get this information sooner, and you must take advantage of it. It's like the fisherman who was in the boat, and the boat's sinking, and he's already prayed for help to be rescued by Krishna. And Krishna's constantly sending various individuals to help him. And because this fisherman doesn't recognize the help, he sinks and he drowns. We have to recognize the knowledge and the scriptures and the opportunities when we get it and to take full advantage of it. Because from moment to moment, we never know if that's our very last moment of getting that information. Just recently, very young devotee, and I think it touched me so much because she was so young. She could have been a child of mine, and she may have been in a previous life. But a disciple of His Holiness Indra Yumna Swami was in India on her way. I think it was at the end of Karti. She was in Vrindavan, and she was headed to Govardhan Hill. And she lost her life, 23 years old. In her lifetime, she had matured to the point that she understood not only the scriptures, but the jnana, self-realization. She was a very old soul. But it touched me so much because it reminded me of a lecture that Vijay Prabhu gave either the beginning of the week. Yeah, I think it was the beginning of the week, where it does not matter what your age is. You don't have to be 80, 60, or 40, or 30 to lose your life. You have babies that come into the world. They take a spiritual body just for that purpose, and they leave the world. So the point that I'm trying to make is a point that I'm really making to myself, to take advantage of the scriptures, of the opportunities that you have, if you have an opportunity to visit a temple, to hear the sastras from a senior devotee, a sincere devotee, a pure devotee, take advantage of it. If you have the opportunity to hear from someone other than me, perfect. Grab the opportunity. But the point is, we only get, and then there was light. We only get so many opportunities to come to this understanding, to come to this realization, and we shouldn't waste it. When that occurred, I guess a couple of days ago in Vrindavan, it kind of shook me, but it made me realize how important it is to take advantage of the help that Krishna sends to us and not disregard it because it doesn't come in a certain form or certain body type. It's not necessary. What you're looking for is the understanding, the scriptures, something that helps you understand who you are and that you are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, you are not God. How could you be when everyone is a part of him? The entire universe is part and parcel of him. And if you are a piece of him, how could you be God? That really, it interests me to have people going around claiming they're God. You know, and they can't even control their breaths. But, you know, that nonsense goes on. When we have an opportunity to read the scriptures, to hear it, do it in a humble, in a compassionate way. Not putting yourself in a position where, and I'm not saying this is existing right now, but not putting yourself in a position where you know so much of the Vedic scriptures that you can critique anyone that quotes it. You're not really qualified to critique anything unless you're living the life. It reminds me of a song, blues singer, he lives a life that he sings about. If you're preaching if you're preaching the scriptures, you should be living it. If you're not living it, you really should be cautious about how you interact with others. We should be devotees that take diksha, should be a glimmer or at least a part of their spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada's disciples should not exactly duplicate him, but when you see a Prabhupada disciple, there should be something about that Prabhupada disciple that reminds you of Srila Prabhupada, because he followed the parampara. He didn't try to create anything new. If anything, he tried to get better at what he was doing. You should be a symbol of your guru. Bhakti Tirtha Swami is another one. There are other gurus out there, and the disciples should be examples of them. I'm saying that to say, when you've been given an opportunity of this knowledge, pass it on. Give it to someone else with the compassion and love and understanding that was given to you. But getting back to the purport, And the fact that sometimes we'll wait until later in life to take the scriptures, Hare Krishna, to take the scriptures seriously, don't wait. If I can pass anything on to you, if you have the opportunity, well, you have the opportunity. Anytime you've come through these doors and someone has been speaking from the scriptures, you have an opportunity to take that knowledge and run with it. And again, as I said, it's great when you understand it and you live it. You don't have to be perfect, but it's good to understand the scriptures. And those that know the scriptures backward and forward are not necessarily always the best devotees. Now, again, I'm not putting anyone down, but I'm just saying, have high standards, but don't have standards to the point where if you feel that you don't know this or that, you can't speak to anyone about Krishna consciousness. I remember being in India some time ago, and there was a pujari that was responsible for one of the very special temples in Vrindavan. And I'm making a point here. Now, in his position, I would have felt that he was elevated enough to be a good example to anyone that came through those doors. But that's when I begin to understand that everyone in a position is not necessarily qualified to do the things and say the things that they're saying. But for some reason or another, Krishna allows it. But this pujari, a priest, I'd gone on a brief tour with one of the residents of Vrindavan, and it was an impromptu, so I wasn't prepared. I didn't have everything. I didn't have a lot of Lakshmi. It was one of those, oh, by the way, let's get on the rickshaw and let's go visit this temple. Well, we did. And at the end, the pujari asked for some donation. And the only thing I had in my pocket, I think, was equivalent to a dime in rupees. So, as I had done when I was very young, I'd given whatever I had, and Krishna multiplied it. In India, at this point, I gave the priest what I had. That was it from my heart. And he did the most unbelievable thing, and I caught my breath because I couldn't believe that someone in that position would do something so unbelievable. He took the rupee and he tossed it to the ground. And that was one of the many beginnings of understanding that I had with myself. And I said to myself, I said, Antaryami, even though you may not grasp all of the Vedic knowledge, you do understand compassion and right and wrong. And those are some of the foundations of a devotee. That is something that I would never, ever repeat. But looking at this particular individual, you would think they would be above all of this. So I guess Krishna arranges certain things to let us know. Maybe not so often, but you're not doing so bad yourself. It's important to understand the difference, as the purport indicates. Gyanana, and that's the ordinary Vedic knowledge, and Vijnana, self-realization, because you have to get from point A to point B. We have to get to a point where when we have self-realization, that Krishna becomes the object of our affection. That, as I said, we dovetail everything to Krishna. And you'll also find that when you get to this understanding, even a little bit of it, when you start serving Krishna, Krishna will not be outdone. Krishna will give back to you more than you could possibly imagine. Mainly because you're not expecting anything in return. It's not a business arrangement. It is not a business arrangement. When you give, even in the material world, that's where some people are so messed up. In relationships, you give me, I'll give you equivalent to what you gave me. And it's not about love, it's a business transaction. The love between the devotee and Krishna is love. It's not a business deal. It's not a business arrangement. And you'll find there's an old saying, when you take one step, the Lord takes two. Krishna overwhelms you with the mercy that he gives. And if you take nothing away, if you take anything away from this morning, this humble lecture, come to the understanding that it is an honor, it is our service to serve Krishna and to understand that we are related, that we are part and parcel of Krishna, and that when you get to that point, Krishna opens up the floodgates of all the things that are available to us. Everything in the material world is like the complete flip side of what's in the spiritual world. We cannot possibly understand that, in essence, life is like one long, extensive party in the spiritual world. Bliss, whatever it is that you desire, but your desires at that point are not so much for you, but it's for serving Krishna, because that's where the joy is. When you're serving someone, you become joyful, and it's a loving exchange. So, again, getting back to the scriptures, the stage of jnana is the preliminary stage of knowledge for those that are still identifying themselves in the material terms or in the material universe. Whereas where you want to be, which is vijnana, self-realization, is the mature stage of knowledge for those who see themselves as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, this purport, that line, and a couple of others describe this entire chapter 19. That is the perfection of spiritual knowledge. So I'm going to end at this point. Does anyone have any points, any questions, any comments, any realizations or experiences you want to share regarding what we've read or what's been read so far? I'm so glad you took the opportunity to visit us in Radhakala Chanji Dham or Dallas while you were here in the United States. How long will you be in the United States? Oh, so we were very fortunate to have your association. Please have a very safe trip back to India. Okay. So we'll end at this point. Thank you all for being here, for listening to Bhakti Tirtha Swami's humble servant. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda, Hare Krishna.